Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Stephanie, would you call us to order? The agenda is attached. I'd like to make a motion to approve it. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is approved as presented. Item 4, public participation, citizen input. Nobody wants to talk? Okay. Moving on to number 5, President's Comments. I'm Deb Rouche, President of the DD Board, and I just want to say welcome to John Fallon Corporation for Supportive Housing. We're very interested in this topic, so thank you for being here.
And I'm President of the Mental Health Board, and we have Mental Health Board representatives, too, who are looking forward to the presentation. Lots of questions will come up, I'm sure.
We have to turn the mics on so that they show green, and then we didn't put mics at every seat because we thought we could share. So if there are questions, anyone can ask you a question, right, John? As long as we get a microphone in front of them.
How to make this turn green?
You did it.
All right, so this makes... So I work for the Corporation for Supportive Housing, and I'm not sure we know how to make this go over there, so I'm just going to talk, and you're going to follow along in the PowerPoint. And you heard all the qualifications, I guess, or whatever. I've been in the field a long time. I'm old. I graduated from University of Illinois in 1983, fond of Huey's. To get 70,000 things, worked for Cunningham Children's Home for $25 a day. I housed people who were in Cook County Jail, had 300 arrests, and whom were sort of the least behaved human beings in a 10,000 person jail. Many of them were involved in feces smearing, and so I really love this work, not the feces smearing, but I really believe that the community can house anyone and that people should be able to live where they want to live. And I don't believe in people needing to move from house to house as they get better or smarter or stronger, as they would say in the $6 million man. Rather, I feel like we shouldn't make people with disabilities or homeless or at-risk individuals need to travel to a counseling office, and if they don't make it on time, then they're not worthy of counseling or services. That, in fact, that should be a trigger for the clinician that that person needs more services, not less. It's also the case we talked earlier today. I've been in meetings all day, and then I get up early tomorrow, and I go into another set of meetings all day. And now I'm literally booked into Friday, and I'm not leaving on the day I planned. And so, and if after this meeting, I'll be calling my wife to tell her I won't be home till Friday late afternoon so far. I hope that the fine people of Champaign County will keep me here a long time, and that you'll invite me back to encourage you to develop the kind of services that I know the University of Illinois' home cities of Champaign and Urbana and Rantoul, still the home of the worst closure of a military base ever. Those communities have a lot of opportunities in them and a lot of strengths, and I think you should lead in housing with people with disabilities in the same way as the University of Illinois has led in sports for the NCAAs for people with disabilities, and the way in which they've created dormitories for people with disabilities throughout the state, that your local community should be able to offer your sons and daughters the kinds of services worthy of an extension of the contract, like Lovie Smith got Sunday. That right now, though, Illinois ranks near the bottom of the country in service, in the Big Ten, right now in football, as well as the quality of services of community care for people with developmental disabilities and people with mental health. You should and can aspire to more, and I want you to. And Becca from Community Choices has been a leader in the state in pushing the system, so much so that people are really tired in Springfield of hearing about it. But at the same point, they're going to push the system. So that's what I'll tell you from my introduction, and now I'll talk about my organization. I work for the Corporation for Supportive Housing, or CSH. I proudly wear the pin for Corporation for Supportive Housing as an organization of 25 years young that has been creating supportive housing across the country. We're in 14 states. We have multiple offices in some of those states, and we do work for state, local government, as well as the federal government in trying to create supportive housing opportunities for people with disabilities, people who are chronically homeless, veterans. We were very involved, and your area should be very proud that Mercy Housing opened a building. It only took, I don't know, 7-8 years, but I was involved in the very beginning in terms of the housing for veterans, and that the VA has made great progress in moving forward with providing support for people. So we're going to go ahead, and so CSH works on, we don't provide any services. We don't provide any housing. We don't do anything. We just come around to communities like yours and talk about what best practices are, and we provide the resources to the community in terms of knowledge and reports and research techniques to prove over and over again that people can live on their own, and that they do better in apartments than if they're slammed together in an institution. And that there is no reason that people with mental health or developmental disabilities or children with issues need to be living in specialized programs. Instead, we need to provide the specialized services to support people And we need to spend a lot less time worried about homelessness and a lot more time supporting people who are in the housing and in the housing at risk in providing those support services. And the federal government has been stating this for a long time. In 1964, when we created the Medicaid system, we said that people could live on their own. And yet Illinois is still being sued 13 times, actually 18 times now, I believe, is the new total. We are still number one in the country for having Olmstead lawsuits. So I'll explain to you that. But let's just give ourselves a hand for leading in the country for the number of times we can be sued for our individual siloed system. And then let's work together as a group. You are one of the only communities, if not the only community, with both the 377 and the 708. Is that correct? Giant university. Let's get together and do some work. So CSH's job is to look at the most expensive people. So I'm now at the bottom of page one. And talking about what CSH does, but basically we look for really expensive failures of our community systems, and we try to take those same public resources and we maximize the use of those public resources by more effectively using those resources, and we bring those to communities. So in Bloomington, Illinois, we're working with their particular city. After about 5 years, as a national organization, they applied for some technical assistance to create what's called a frequent users project. So they're interested in the number of people who are in and out of their jails and who also have mental health issues and were chronically homeless, who if someone came in and invested in housing and services, they could reduce the amount of unnecessary emergency. And if those investors can successfully make that investment and it works, they'll get a return on their investment, and the rest of taxpayers will get a return on their investment because they will have invested in services that work. And so you can either use an investment strategy of that way to create a community health system, or you can go ahead and not give those people more money because they were already rich, and you as a community can decide through your regular taxing bodies to create effective programs looking at national models. I don't care which one, but I don't like it when the redbirds are ahead of us, okay? Illinois State's a fine place, but we are the Big Ten, and we're going to move up in the standings in the Big Ten, and hopefully Illinois with a new governor can take advantage of certain things. And I want to apologize for the last budget fiasco that we've had at the state level, and that I know that I am not in Southern Illinois, even though I'm from Waukegan, which is as far north as you can go, that Central Illinois was devastated for services throughout, and Southern Illinois didn't have that many services to start out with. And so we're going to have to rebuild services, and we're going to have to rebuild them right this time. We're going to have to make sure that they're effective services and we stop building things that don't get Medicaid. Illinois gets 46 cents of every dollar they send to the federal government. So that means 54 cents are going to other places, oftentimes places that have military bases and other places. And we need to get some of that money back. And one of the ways that we do that is to effectively use your 377 money and your 708 money, and the services you deliver, and the philanthropy money in better ways that get a better bang for your buck in terms of getting your own money back to our state instead of going to North Carolina or New York or some other state which does a better job at getting that money back. So let's start looking at, so I'm flipping the page and we're going to talk about housing first. And I do wish we could figure out how to get that up there, but yeah. So we're gonna go ahead. So let's just talk about housing first. So I'm on page two, the very bottom. And again, I'm sorry we were not here early enough to figure out all the technology to make us have something behind me. So a lot of people are, so there are certain principles. So today, for you in this study session, so that's my understanding, is you're here to learn, is that right? And you were dumb enough to learn from me, is that correct? That's right, okay, all right. And so none of you have really read my press clippings to know, or know that I'm on no-fly lists or any of those kinds of things. Okay, so we're going to look at various principles that we know of various systems. So for some of you, particularly the 377 board, so now let's talk to the 377 board. If we have those two pages. As a person who doesn't have a board packet, let me just say, there are two pages that I want you to look at. So I'm going to talk specifically to the IDD population, and this will tie back to them. So for those on Facebook, yes, that's even better. So you'll be interested the entire time for dual diagnosis, but I'm talking about people who specifically have intellectual and developmental disabilities. It will appear that this doesn't apply to you, and that's because you're just 25 years behind, okay? So I'll explain to you how we're going to catch up, and that's other work. But I'm going to tell you about materials. So there's a page. Can you hold that up? Do you mind? There's a page that explains about our work in the IDD system. And then there's a page that shows all the resources. So the exciting thing for the Facebook viewer or for other people is that that this attachment will be located. Where will these attachments be for those individuals? On the DD's page of the, that's too long. You heard what you said, right? County website. So that will tell you the materials. And the reason is because we know what supportive housing is. Supportive housing is regular housing, like you or I live in, which might be a house or it might be an apartment, but it's something that I can afford even if I have a disability. And then separately, support services. So that's what supportive housing is. And supportive housing has been demonstrated to be effective for a bunch of populations. It's been demonstrated to be effective first for chronically homeless or people who've been on the streets for more than a year. And those individuals, we found that it's cost-effective to provide some in-home support services to those individuals and to chase after them assertively, chase after individuals and make sure that they get the supports they have, offer them housing, and once they're in housing, teach them inside of regular housing how to manage that unit. We're not teaching them how to manage every possible apartment or house in the world. We're just interested in explaining to them how to work in that apartment. And that apartment hopefully is one they chose and one that they like to live in a neighborhood they wanted to live in. And then instead of making them move every 4 or 5 months in the transitional style that we used to do, we're going to let them live in the first house they wanted. And then we're going to provide them the service and they'll understand how that dishwasher works and not how all dishwashers work. We will not have a how dishwashers work class that you go to. How many of you would like to go to a how dishwashers work? I knew it was going to be Kevin. He's insatiable for boring classes. But the rest of us don't really want to go to that class, and I understand why. And so what I recommend instead is that we just learn how you work your dishwasher. So I'll ask a different question about this, and this will only be for older people who know what I'm talking about, but how many people would like to go to a class on how to fix your VCR's clock? But just specifically your VCR clock, it'll only be about 10 minutes, but so that you could set that. So all the older people interested in that class, raise your hand, right? Yeah, see, that's what, no one ever learned that, okay? And then they say, oh, it works just like the one I have at home. No, it doesn't. It's completely different. So we're going to teach people how to manage their apartments, and that's the support. So we taught it for people with chronic homelessness. Then we taught it for the mental health population. It turns out if you teach people how to work a toaster, and all they used to know was a giant toaster from the old institutional places where you put two loaves of bread and it spun around. Only people with gray hair know about this, but you put two loaves of bread on there and it just spun around forever. and then you buttered that baby up at the end. If you lived in a state hospital, they still have those suckers. And that's what you learned about, and then you moved into your own place, and they said, that's your toaster over there. And you said, okay, how does it work? Or how does the computer work when I got out of jail? Or how does the internet work? Or this doesn't seem to work at all like the Remington typewriter that I used to have that's manual. Where do you change the ribbon? There are things that you learn in an institutional setting, and so what we want to do is teach people how to live in your community and provide that support. Now, this seems very logical. Worked good for mental health. Then veterans has been great. I mean, we've been housing. A lot of you might think we've been housing those Iraqi freedom veterans or whatever the newest war is. No, we're housing the Vietnam vets who have been on the streets for 40 years. And finally, I mean, it's been embarrassing what we did in my generation in terms of to the Vietnam vets. But if you offer people housing, they're doing well. So we're going to house the person first and figure out what's wrong later. And we'll figure out what's wrong because the person says, I don't know how to work the toaster, which we never would have anticipated. They didn't know how to work the toaster because the five people we housed before knew how to work the toaster. But they did know how to do this. Maybe they knew how to work a printing press. So they had a lot of skills, just not how to work the stuff that's current. Instead, what we think is the best idea before this was to put people in group homes. So now this fits with people in the DD world. Because everyone knows the good idea, and we used to do this in the mental health world. You guys might not know this, but back in the 80s, the 1980s, there's like seven or eight, you know, new oldie stations before that. But in the back in the 1980s, we used to put everyone who had mental illness in the group home. Because you know what was a good idea? Is to have a person make friends by putting everyone with schizophrenia all in the same building. It was a really good idea because you have a lot in common because you heard things or saw things even though they were completely different. And now we think it's a good idea to put people with autism all in the same place because they have so much in common. And you know, let's create the cerebral palsy house. You know, or this is absurd, but we think that's a good idea, and we think it saves us money because, you know, it saves us a lot of money to put six people in the house because, you know, they can all ride in the van together for their community outing to bowling. So we used to think that was a good idea, but now we realize you should just house someone in their own place. And particularly someone who hears voices. The worst thing to do is put them in a house with a bunch of people who are hearing voices, because then you have no idea whether the screams you're hearing from person one who's overwhelmed are real or whether they are your voices that you're hearing. And someone with autism, just because you have autism and you hear too much noise and you're in the same place with someone who needs noise and another person who needs it to be really bright because they need a lot of light and someone who needs no light. Yeah, a good thing is, see how much they have in common? They both like certain forms of light and certain forms of noise. That's not enough to be in common. So we need to start asking, do people like each other to be in a group? Did you choose your roommate? Did you have individualized services? So I tell you this to lead into the DD discussion in a very... In a way that all of these threads, I hope, will tie together, while still wishing I had a PowerPoint behind me. And that, so what you need to know is that all the resources to teach a parent about their hopes and fears, we tried to put that into the IDD world, because we think that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities should be able to live in their own apartment, in their own community, and not have to go and live someplace after both mom, nope, not enough, and dad, and all brothers and sisters die, at which point we will then move you 4 hours away into a group home where you can live with other people with autism. Because that's still what our system does. And so while in our lifetime we may not change that, we will push for a new IDD system following the same playbook that I'm going to teach the rest of the 708 board about you're on the early part. So those resources and those videos, starring amongst others, Vicki Nicewander and her entire family, as they support Annie in a book we call, what do we call it? Annie gets her own apartment, and then we also have They Worry About Me Everywhere or something. I don't remember. That's all about Everybody Worries About Me. So those two are amongst the things. We also see what public housing authorities look like, and so David Northern may be able to help this group with public housing and provide opportunities for people to live in their community. And the idea, the common theme, all these populations, and there's more populations that permanent supportive housing works for. It works for people that are family members who are at risk. It works. We've just found it saves a whole lot of money. Almost 80% of people who are in institutions, when given an opportunity to live in their house and the right supports, can live on their own. That's what I'll tell you. So while I won't be talking specifically, I may be talking more about substance abuse and mental health. You should all say, if you're in the 377 board, you should say, this is going to impact me. We're going to change the system. And part of the way we'll do this is that people with autism can get services from the mental health system. They can get systems help from the Department of Rehabilitation Services system, as well as waiting 20 years for the DD system. But there are other ways to get services. But we need to start thinking that we do not need to put all of our sons and daughters. And there may be some who want to live in a group home, or there may be some that want to live in a 16-person ICFDD. But for those, and there may be some who want to live on a farm. Beverly's Farm, as I recall, is one of them. You might want to live in those. But for the vast majority of people, when you ask the parents, they think it's a good idea to send the kid to the farm. But when you ask the individual with intellectual and developmental disabilities, you want to know what they answer? The same thing you answered when you were 18 and thinking about moving out. I want a job, and I want my own place. And they may also say, I want a pet, and I want to get married, in which case then I have a roommate who may or may not have autism or any kind of disability. So that's what you need to hear from the 377 board, and then pick up on the themes that I'm going to do as I talk about that. And for those of you who are on the 708 board, what you should hear is that you can be damn proud, because you're way ahead of the DD system right now in terms of integrating people into the community. Now, we goofed up a lot in the 60s when we didn't provide enough money in the mental health system, and so 708 helps in that area. And we created a lot of homeless people because we didn't provide sufficient support, but we will have to fix that across time. Okay? So, housing first. You've heard about it. Now we're going to talk about it. Housing first means that we're going to put someone in need or at risk. And we actually have a risk tool called the Vulnerability Index for people who are homeless, where in a matter of about 20 questions, we can determine fairly precisely which of the people, if they remain on the streets for a year, are going to die. So if you are high vulnerability, we have a good idea you're going to die this year. And so we've decided in the limited amount of funding that we have in the homeless system that all of those people likely to die without housing should be a priority in providing housing. Now, that's really annoying if you've been on the list for a long time waiting for housing because you might want it, but it's literally a life or death situation. It's unfortunate that we live in a very rich society where we can develop a tool and figure out who's going to die because we allowed people potentially to die on the streets, but we have done that primarily since the 1980s when we cut the housing budget, the affordable housing budget, by 80 or 90%. I'm sorry, I don't have that figure, so please edit that out of the long-term video, okay? But we really substantially cut that back. But, of course, there's lots of fears about this. If we're going to house people right off the bat, What if that person's problematic? Well, if we prioritized them, that's why we put them in for, you know, we promoted them because they were having difficulty staying housing, so of course they're going to be problematic. So we need to build in the safeguards to make sure that we have sufficient support for them. But I will tell you that I housed people with 300 arrests. I housed someone with 286 state psychiatric hospitalizations and 64 deflections, which means that individual stayed between two glass doors for up to 72 hours while he stopped, became less drunk, and so was not admitted. And we provided a visit once a day to him 7 days a week, and he lived in the community. So we can, if we create affordable housing, provide the support, but we need to have the right techniques to do it. And it's not something, I mean, first of all, is there anyone who wants to volunteer to do that work with that individual, any of the ones? I didn't think so. They're a little overwhelming. And so we need professionals to do that, and they did pay me, and I wasn't bad at it. And there's not that many people dumb enough to do that. But we only have 40 or 45 years of experience of housing people like that. It was the first SAMHSA evidence-based practice called assertive community treatment. And meeting with someone intensely isn't enough for some of these individuals, that the caseload of 1 to 10, still not enough. My people were 1 to 6. That's what I needed. And then you could say, well, Medicaid's not going to pay for that. No, ACT has minimum standards of 1 to 10. They don't want you to go above 1 to 10, but you can do less and you can bill more often. It is sometimes the Division of Mental Health will encourage you to take more people onto that team. And some people will say, oh, we have to have them on the team. You have to have more people on the team because they think it should be 1 to 10. But it can be 1 to 6. But you have to spend, you have to justify that through a treatment plan, and you need to spend the time. But the individuals I worked with needed that much time. We spent hours with some of those individuals trying to help them to get along with landlords, to get along with neighbors initially. They required a lot of time. And they were individuals willing to take medication, even though everyone had said they wouldn't take medication, as long as I help them to manage the side effects. The side effects of psychiatric medication are horrible. And there are different ones for every one of those psychiatric medications. And people have the ability and will live in the community when other people think they need medication and they, in fact, don't. And they're a little odd. But if you have spent enough time helping neighbors to understand, and you keep them in the same place, the neighbors begin to know that person no longer as the odd guy, but John, or Ralph, or Ed. A person with disability who requires that people take a little bit more time with that individual and give them a little slack. And on days when there's changes, because John was doing quite well, or Ralph was doing real well, and all of a sudden he seemed to act differently. He was up late. The lights were on and the music was turned up. He's become symptomatic. But you as a community then could know that community worker. So I want to make sure you know me. And I can't tell you why John's acting or Edward's acting that way. But what I can do is respond to the new intel you gave me as a community. And I can help that person work through. And I can say, John or Ed, you're going to lose your apartment if you keep this up. We're going to have to figure out new strategies. And so I might come up with a strategy to take a particular medication, and then I would need to explain to other people that that medication takes 3 weeks to work. I might explain to a person that they are not a danger to the community in a way that will require hospitalization, but I can't explain it to you because HIPAA prevents that. But I can, through NAMI, explain to you what schizophrenia is. I can, through NAMI, explain what a bipolar condition is that creates excessive highs so people can run through thousands of dollars in a matter of hours. I can explain to you what it's like to cyclically feel horrible 4 months at a time. And I can work with that person to make their life less miserable and expose and create a better life for them as individuals. Whether they're a veteran or whether they're a person with a developmental disability co-occurring, and I certainly worked with that population. And we have new ways. So I'm going to give you this, and then we have new ways with assistive technology to be able to help monitor people without watching them sleep at night. Yes.
I do a lot of the in-between, like the other 13 days. As the mother, I show up. And I'm not angry particularly unless there is a funding source. And we seem to have limitations in our community that make it impossible to get.
Like the mental health system does, I have, so you're the parent?
I'm a parent, yeah.
So I must need to blame you. That's what we do. So I'll explain to you why, though, and then you'll understand a little bit. Because you're willing to do those visits, your son or daughter, a son, has not failed and therefore is not eligible for more often visits. And not enough. Not enough under this managed care world.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want that to happen again.
I know, and we appreciate that as taxpayers, that you're willing to do that, and the managed care companies appreciate that. And so, therefore, financially, we won't justify paying for more visits because we know you'll do it. That's a failure of the system, and it is, in fact, a failure that's common to people with developmental disabilities who, if they simply released their children out of the basement and into the community, we could probably get them emergency services. But because they're not willing to do that, you will continue to take care of them. But so that's a different question. That's a different question. And again, I don't want to be involved in individual cases, but I want to explain that, first of all, you vote and you demand and you use NAMI and ARC as two different organizations that I'm involved as. It's are probably the strongest national and statewide organizations to advocate for this kind of thing. And we make sure that ACT and CST, which is home visiting, ACT stands for Assertive Community Treatment. It's a team-based approach where the caseload of the team is 60. You don't have that right now, but there isn't any reason because Medicaid, so advocacy of the mental health community through an advocacy organization called Healthy Minds, Healthy Living, made what is really a kind of a terrible thing. We pay really, really awful services, but community mental health agencies have a permanent rate add-on that just occurred at the last minute of the budget, literally on, I think, 2 days before is when it was added finally, by advocacy, by advocates, to make it so assertive community treatment was not something that agencies, the community mental health agencies only, the big agencies, lost money on. So right now, the service of assertive community treatment, they lost money every hour they delivered. And so now they almost break even. Out the camera for that one, because I think it's a fun. And that's the honest gosh truth. And so there is a chance for all of us as a community to advocate for more assertive community treatment and CST or consumer support teams now, and to demand that your local mental health agency, which is Rosecrans, and any other agency, or is there only one agency here? I think that's your agency, that they do it. And if not, then you figure out how, because Medicaid is not bound by a geographical area. You can bring another provider in to do that. But you want someone who's going to work to go and visit your sons and daughters in the community. Now, you don't get home visits unless your son or daughter has, oftentimes, has been in the hospital enough times. So the rule of thumb for ACT was they had to be in a psychiatric hospital, in a state psychiatric hospital, at least 5 times. That was the rule. And Then managed care came in, and they set their own rules for each company. And as taxpayers, we want to spend as little money as possible on managed care, which is why we did it. And as advocates, we would like to spend as much money as we can on that. And so the compromise is not in the right area yet. And so you, as a family member, need to make your life of your state legislator and your state senator miserable. And all of you should. I think that's your obligation. And, yes, and it is not a federal policy. And, you know, your state legislator has nothing to do with your property taxes. They have nothing to do with all those things that have been in all the commercials. But they have, and Medicaid is a federal program, but it's administered by the state. And so your state legislators and your governor are responsible for the level and types of services and eligibility. So currently the 20,000-person waiting list for the intellectual and developmental disability system is the responsibility of our state government. And decades of not funding from the 70s, from Jim Edgar's governorship, that's where we have this deficit. Not because we paid too much taxes now, it's because we didn't pay enough taxes before. And so, and these aren't editorials, I can give you plenty of places to see that. But we've made these choices, and it's up to you to hold your state legislator accountable. Now, your count, every dollar that you put into 377 and 5, or 780, sorry, another state's fives, that's money that you can alternatively decide locally that you want to put in addition to that. But then you also may want to make sure you get a Medicaid match, that the federal government matches that, so that those dollars go further. But those are locally raised money. Okay, well, we'll talk about it. But I'm simply telling you that it's because the state government hasn't invested enough money in DD and mental health services, as well as substance abuse services, even worse funded. And the private insurance company is not held to the parity that the state legislator says. Illinois has the best parity laws in the country, none of which are enforced. But we have the best laws, and so we have to hold people accountable to say that if your son or daughter has a mental health issue, then they deserve the same treatment as you would get if you had a physical illness. And we typically rely on our state Medicaid system to pay for all of those services that could be paid for by private insurance and is not. So those are all issues, and you'll have a variety of feelings about this, but I'm just telling you where your money is going. Federal money, mostly going to other states. We're only getting 46 cents worth of it. Your local philanthropy money, if it's not matched by Medicaid, is all coming from local pockets. Your county money, all coming from local taxes. Your property taxes is primarily to pay for schools that aren't paid for by a match at the state. Tuition was $1,200 when I went to school in 1979. It's how much now? A lot, right? Is that good enough to just go with a lot? 12,000? Okay. So it's because we don't match as a state and get the maximum amount we could, and we made those choices. And it makes for differential services in different parts of the state, which is really difficult. So this is about advocacy, and each local legislator has to make their difference. And I believe that Champaign is a pretty, has worked for this for the most part, but I'm not certain. I don't know the individual legislators well enough. And that depends. If you're in the mental health system, or the veteran system, or really any other disability system, the rent is being paid for by the individual. They get their money, except if they're in a nursing home, in which case, then their very expensive housing is paid for by your tax dollars, and you as an individual will get $30, $25 in 1985, It was raised to $30 in 1988. It then went to $60 in 2016. And then it went back down to $30 in 2017 until a lawsuit brought it all the way back up to $60 in 2018. So you don't get very much money. Yes, well, your rent is paid. So the nursing home bed that you're sitting in costs $30,000 to the state. If your particular building where you have a nursing home has a lot of people with mental illness, more than 50% of the building, 100% of it is paid for by your state income tax. That's an Institute for Mental Disease. It's too large. And you, individually, for having turned over your Medicare or Medicaid check, will then get $60 back today. And everything else will be paid for, and you have that lovely thing. Not a minor point, because... Oh, okay, so we're going to get to that. So let me just say, because I want to continue this. So nursing home or one of those group homes, same thing. You get this $60. That's what you get your spending money. And you usually get on the first or the third. Yes? No, it does not. It does not go for supportive housing. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Supportive housing, in the way that CSH would define supportive housing, you get to keep your whole check. But you have to pay rent. Eden Supportive Living. So Eden Supportive Living is a variation called assisted supportive living. There's supportive living, and then there's assisted living, and then there's assistive living, and then there's supported housing. Actually, let's leave supported housing off because that's different. We have a lot of definitions of housing. All of those function, almost all of those function just the same way as a nursing home. It costs a lot of money for that housing, and so they give you $60. And they used to give you $30. But they gave that big raise, happened once in 2016 and again in 2018. Mitch is the owner, I think, right? Or not?
Yeah.
No, you got an extra $30?
No, they still got the same amount for their personal.
Oh, you're right. Actually, I take that back. You'll have to edit that out of the video, okay? I forgot. Nursing homes got the $60, the extra $30. You're right. I think assisted living gets still the $30. So sorry, I had that wrong. I forgot how. So this is how cheap we are as a state. We thought we would have a copay of whatever you make minus $30 or minus $6, $60. Those are our choices. So the DD families led the charge to get $60, and they got 50 first and went to 60. So if you lived in a group home, you were living good if you had DD funding because you got $60 now. You got a $10 raise. So, or you can do it a different way, which is to pay rent. So now I just want to check to see how many of you need payees. Payees are people who manage your money, and I want to see if you can all manage your money correctly. So let's pretend for a moment that all of you have a disability. And you'll be getting a disability check. Your disability check will be at this point $720 for easy math. And so I just want to make sure how many of you can go ahead, raise your hand if you can manage your money well enough to make it this month on $720 a month. And I hope you're saving up for future purchases. None of you? Oh, what a whiner you are. I'm joking. You know that, right? So, oh, I did, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So I know this is, I'm really building the drama on this baby, aren't I? It's a ratings thing for Facebook. Okay, so no one can, and so oftentimes we blame a person with mental illness who can't manage their lives on $720 a month, and yet All of you obviously need payees because, just so you know, camera, none of them raised their hand. Not a single person who attended this meeting could manage their money well enough. And so, obviously, there are real problems with all of you. I'm very disappointed. Couldn't you have brought better people? Okay. So that's a problem. But in fact, we ask people to do that. And so that's why many people with mental illness and people with physical disabilities and others who are dependent upon supplemental security income, which is based on your income, we have said as a government that we will give everyone at least $720 if they have a disability. If you don't have a disability, you don't get anything. And yet there's no place to live, and so people live in substandard places. So now let's come to public housing. Public housing has a kind of sounds a, like a bad word, right? Anyone want to live in public housing? You know, there's some places up in Chicago we got. Again, no one wants to live there. But that's because of mistakes we made in the public housing program. And so the Lake County Public House, or the Champaign Public County Housing Authority's new director will bring new ideas to this community, and you can be excited. And you should support him and then ask for everything you want, and you're all going to run out of abilities to use your public housing authority as part of what you want to do. But you want to get on the waiting list for public housing, which may not be of good quality, and or you can support your public housing director as they relocate and rebuild old, poorly built and poorly constructed and poorly located public housing, which we did for many years, because when we built it, we made this mistake, not unlike some of these other things. As a federal government, we built pretty nice housing when it started out, and then we forgot one thing. We forgot to actually pay for maintenance. Oh, my gosh. So when I was down here, I bought a Delmont 88 car for $200. It was a real good value, except when I drove back to Chicago, it didn't actually have any brakes, so I had to pump the brakes a lot. And my parents were very happy with that. No, they weren't that happy. And it turns out that when you buy something, you have to maintain it, and it's not necessarily cheap. And so nowadays, when we build new public housing, or public housing authorities are involved in that, we instead build it through a private development company. And we have a separate corporation who then has to have the money to fix things. And we actually know how long stuff's going to last. So a washer and dryer that lasts 10 years in your home, probably going to last 6 years in public housing. A roof, it's going to last 8 years in public housing, you know, if it's a standard flat roof or other. So we know exactly how long. There's books of this stuff. And so we now build all the money up front to build the housing, and we say for what's a 30-year budget for this, so we guarantee the housing is going to look the same after 30 years as it did at the beginning if maintained correctly by a professional property manager. Now, I was Threshold's property manager for a period of 3.5 years, and I was the only property manager, and I was trained in social services, and we had $50 million worth of real estate. I want to advise the listener on Facebook that this was not a good idea. There's a small part of risk involved in that. And even better, I had lots of people who had mental health issues in our mental health housing, and I didn't necessarily know what he was doing, and the staff there had never lived on their own for the most part because they were all fresh graduates, so there was a lot of risk involved in this. So that's why we now require there be a professional property management company that runs new construction that's funded. We now require that the capital money has replacement reserves for that building. So when David Northern comes to the community, I need all the people on Facebook and in this room to know that they should support the new project because it will be built differently than the bad housing that you bad housing experience from the way we used to finance public housing. In addition to that, so that's public housing. Those are buildings owned and developed by the public housing authority. Then there's a second thing that the public housing authority can do, and that is to give the local community Section 8 vouchers, now called housing choice vouchers. And housing choice vouchers allow you to go to a private landlord and to ask them if you can move in, and the federal government will pay most of the rent. I will pay one-third of my income for that. Now, that doesn't work out if there's not, if a person moves in and they have no experience in living on their own. So another story about me, you know, because this is about me, is that I'm going to be 60 this year. And so I learned how to do laundry when I was first married at 25, 26, actually, when I was here at the University of Illinois and used those laundromats. And so I actually love those giant laundromats. At that time, they were $3.50, those huge ones. You could put like a whole month's worth of clothes in there. And if it wasn't clean enough, you just add a bunch more soap, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Because we're from around the same era, right? We know. I don't want to do any of that sorting business, okay? That stuff seems unnecessary. And you run everything on warm. And so if I were to move into an apartment right now, because my wife threw me out, which you can understand because I'm in Champaign, Illinois, you know, and I should be walking the dog. And I clearly know how to manage these, you know, the new washer. I'll just stuff that sucker full of as much stuff as I can. And if it's not clean enough, I'll just add some more soap. Isn't that how it works with their brand new washing machine? What do you think? No? You know her? She seems kind of bossy. What's the matter with that? Oh, there's these new things called high-efficiency washers I learned about after I bought a new one, that you're not supposed to put a lot of soap in there, okay? There's something called pods, which you're not supposed to eat. So it would be good for me to have someone teach me how to work the washers and the dryers, or I'll have to replace washers every year. And there's a lot more of me than there are of you people who knew about high-efficiency washing machines, okay? And garbage disposals, apparently you're not supposed to put bones in those suckers anymore. In my day, cooked pasta? No kidding. I did learn you're not supposed to put a bunch of apples and pumpkins in there. That causes difficulty too. Yes? Do you have a cooking suggestion? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, because I really am trying to tie this all together. So we're going to get people in housing right away, and we're going to provide services to them where they live. And we're going to start having people get into their own apartment, and we're going to advocate, and we're going to stop having the developmental disability system pay rent for groups of people because it doesn't save them money. We're going to have the developmental disability system begin to provide services. And in the mental health services, we're going to use more intensive services and less institutions. We're spending a lot of money on our mental health system in institutional care and a huge amount of money on state developmental centers, and we're spending a huge amount of money in other systems, and we need to move to a system where we support people in their regular housing. And we need to do it sooner rather than later. And so the effect of the long waiting list in the DD system is because we use waiver services. So we have the right under a waiver. Illinois' plan allows us to limit the number of people we serve in the DD community. So only some people get services, and then we choose who the line is. And so at this point, because there's 20,000 people, we say the only emergency that counts anymore is both parents are dead and there's no family members, in which case then we will transport you to the nearest open bed, which will be much more expensive than if we had supported that person for 15 years in their current place long before either parent died, and they were able to make friends with their high school people and have people who might have cared about them in their local community.
I think she was asking about the Section 8 housing and how long it takes to wait.
So you want the Section 8 list or the?
We're all, many of us are parents of kids,
okay,
young adults who are maybe even living in supportive housing, but we're paying for it all out of our pockets.
Okay.
Because there are no resources to help support the
cause. So we're going from the specifics, or from the general to the specifics.
The specifics being, I still am not understanding what resources are available to us and how to get to them.
Okay. So I've tried to explain to you first about how the current DD system works, where it's a bundled service, and nursing homes are all bundled services, meaning that they include everything together. Your rent and your housing are together. And that's not a health care intervention, and so the state has to pay for the housing, and they pay too much of it because they license it. A better system would be that health care pays for the supports, and the supports are located in the individual apartment. Our state doesn't generally do that. So some of this is going to be a sad story, and then I'm going to tell you how to advocate for something different. So there is a long line for public housing, and so now you want to make sure that it's prioritized to your individuals, and you want to make sure that you can increase the amount of housing that comes to this community. And so for HUD, they have not spent enough money at HUD, but Champaign County hasn't always gotten all the resources it could get to build quality housing. And some of that is because sometimes the community objects to affordable housing without realizing that the disability community is a part of the people who need it. And so you need to come out in force to make sure that it exists, and then hold the public housing authority accountable to make sure that that's good housing. And so give me time. That's the goal long term. And you need to know that if you have young individuals in the system and are going to be on this long waiting list, our goal will be to change their sons and daughters long term, but in the short run, you may benefit. And many of the original group of people who originally did a lot of advocacy in the DD community, and I don't know which I don't remember which is DD and which is mental health, which is more difficult because I have to explain both systems. But the DD system did a lot of advocacy, knowing those parents weren't going to benefit, in the same way as Rosa Parks did not get a very good bus ride. That this is about changing. So my talk today is really about how you change the system through advocacy, not necessarily how to immediately access stuff, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And the system is quite different for mental health. So in the mental health and homeless world, there are certain principles that have to hold. But it is, in fact, to get Section 8 or public housing, you need to know there are two lists. There's a list for the public housing that's owned by the public housing authority, and then there's a list for portable vouchers, which means they belong to the person and can be used elsewhere. Those are housing choice vouchers. You need to try and get on both lists. Generally, a public housing authority has a very long list. I don't know where Champaign County's housing authority list is, but you should sign up today for whatever Champaign County public housing authority has as a list. And then once a year, there's this document. So here's the fun part, this document that you get to be involved in. Once a year, there's a document called the admin plan. And the admin plan controls who is prioritized for that housing. And some people can jump the list. Now, this side has been on the list for a really long time, and you want housing. And this side really needs housing. Okay? You got your parts? I'm going to sit right here in the middle where I can be the judge. You guys have been on the housing list for 12 years, all of you, and you're very deserving, and I think you should get housing. Okay? I know that everyone in your family's dead now, and you're the last ones there, and you have no money, so I think that the fact that you're living... That there's not even enough room. So you two right there and us will be the Housing Authority Board, and we'll need to make a choice as to which one we'll listen to. So go ahead, speak at once. Who we should give that? Who should we give? Because we only have 5 vouchers anyway, so which one should we give? We could agree with that because he did speak up first, don't you think? All right, so we're giving it to the people with one kidney. Everyone who's happy about that, clap, please. Is that good with you guys, too? Really? Not enough vouchers. That's the problem. So you're going to increase the number of vouchers, but you're also going to be selfish. If you've only got one kidney, you should be at the meetings, okay? And there's a board that decides it, and the three of us, you know, first of all, I'm pretty sure both of them, they know about the one kidney, and they're getting money from the local pharmacy that supplies kidney medication, and so they're all about keeping you guys to live as long as possible, and so they're all in the pocket. So I would recommend that you guys might want to get a few board members in here, because I'm thoroughly outnumbered. So strategy number one, get people you think will support people with disabilities in this room. And meanwhile, trust me, there's a lot of people who've been waiting 12 years, they'll be on the board, and people who are supported by the pharmacy industry will be on there. But Becca, can you say anything about what happens? Is it possible to get people interested in disabilities on the Housing Authority Board? There is. Ho-ho! So in this room, is there anyone? Okay, yes, you can all give a clap for that, okay? So I'm pretty sure that she has a representative vote on there. And I might recommend that everyone who has an interest in this should A, blame Becca if it goes wrong, or B, get yourself on the board, which means that you're going to be paid nothing, but you will have a choice in how your community spends that money. And so you thought of this board thing fairly recently, did you not, Becca? Okay. Any idea how you thought that idea up? Get on the board? That's why you want to get on the board. You want to get representation and change policy. So it requires that all of us take our time. So there are not enough housing, to answer your question, but there is more than you think. So within the past decade, the state of Illinois has created several thousand units for people with disabilities. How many people know about that? Your IDA tax dollars put thousands of low-income housing tax credit buildings there. And of those, there were 10% of those buildings were set aside for people with disabilities. The DD system, with 20,000 people on the waiting list, applied for none of those because their system has no benefit because the state already pays the rent. Why should you bother to get someone else to pay the rent from a different pot when you could do that? Everyone who thinks that was a good idea, raise their hand. The mental health system has been all over this, and I've been working with the mental health system quite hard to make sure that they're taking advantage of those, but I would not consider Champaign County to be one of those places that has advocated for that. Your public housing authority hasn't done a good job of making sure that you get low-income housing tax credit projects as a priority, and your continuum of care is only interested in people who are, and they're supposed to only be interested in people who have been on the street for a long time, and that's how they prioritize theirs. So there's different pots of HUD dollars, but Illinois got 299 brand new subsidies for people with disabilities through a new type of disability voucher that just came out. Now, if you're riding in the 377 board, just know that the DD system is still not very good at utilizing those, and so you'll have to meet with me after class, and I can talk to you about some of the advocacy, but that's what those resources are. The mental health system is plenty ready to do this, but you need a public housing authority that asked for them. And David Northern did ask for them, and we have how many vouchers? Get the camera on her right now so she can say that again. Say that again.
Yeah, so if you go to the Housing Authority website, which is, I just looked it up because I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. it's just HACC.net, and then from the menu, go to Housing and apply for housing, and it's pretty easy. It doesn't take a lot, and so you can get on both waiting lists at the same time too. So again, it's one is attached to the building, the Steer Place building, and the other one is attached to the person, so they can take it around, and you are on the waiting list until you get housing. So it's in your benefit. I mean, if you want to live there, you can always turn it down too. So it's always in your interest to get on the waiting list. But that is open until Friday. So was there another question too? Yes. So the
or physical.
Or a physical disability, yeah. So it's not specific to people with intellectual or developmental disabilities. It's the whole spectrum. Those are those main. I think they call them mainstream vouchers on the application in our county. But they are those portable choice vouchers. And the other waiting list that's open is for people who are over the age of 55. And you don't have to have a disability in order to be on that list, but you certainly can. Do my best. They send out emails. I'm actually like sort of having more transparency about when those waiting lists is open is something that I'm very interested in making better. So you can get on the housing authorities. They have like a weekly email list. So it would be on that weekly email list when those waiting lists do become open. Anyone can be on that. There's some sign up somewhere on their website. I can't tell you exactly. They also do publish it in the newspaper. And then it's very much like word of mouth. So I've been, you know, sort of pushing it out to people that are part of, you know, the organization that I run. But yeah.
Get anybody that needs to be on the list, start working with them. And of course, each counselor has, or each case manager has 30 to 40 people on their list individually on their caseload. So they work as many people as they can to show them where to go, help them do it. So that's how it's always been. And we work with them quickly to try and get them on the list. And it's only open for a short period of time.
Yeah. And it was like 2 weeks and it was over Thanksgiving this time, which is not great.
It was really hard.
The other thing is that if you have a disability, you can get on the SRN waiting list. So it's like, oh gosh, John, what's the website? Housing.
So I'll talk about that separately.
Okay.
Stay in your local housing authority because you have more. Go ahead and tell me about that.
Those are my big updates right now. But there are some other ways to get on those waiting lists, not for those portable vouchers, but for those project specific places, which sometimes can, you know, be a back door into those waiting lists.
How many of them need to get on lists, I don't know. But even today when I was walking the halls, I heard them all talking. you've got to get on the wait list. Did you apply? Do you need some help? So they're trying quickly to get people to sign up.
Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely. Yep.
But, so let's talk. So now let's switch. So now I'm going to switch.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes.
Can I use these guys as an example? Okay. So the other thing that you can do is after you, if you have been on the waiting list and then you get a voucher, if you are, for example, somebody with a disability and you need some of that support that actually is like in the house with you, you can tell the housing authority, like, I'm a person with a disability, but I need a live-in support person, and you can then access a two-bedroom unit as opposed to a one-bedroom unit, and that other person that's living there that's providing support doesn't, their income does not count towards what the monthly rent and the subsidy is, which can make a huge difference and be a really excellent sort of workaround when you're trying to think about how do we provide services to people with IDD that are not necessarily happening in a group home setting. And so Eric is here, actually, and this was something that they were successful in doing here in Champaign County when you got a voucher. I mean, just, like, tell them that you need somebody to live with you. I think you have to get a doctor's note. Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, yeah? You guys don't want to get a doctor.
Yeah. So there are, you know, obviously you do have to get the housing first before that can be an option, but you do have some flexibility there. So if that happens, talk to, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, there's probably similar things with Rosecrans where they can support you in doing something like that too. So if you're not part of the DD system, definitely reach out because there are resources there, but they're not very obvious. So anyway, my soapbox.
But now a quick poll. How many in the room feel better about public housing authorities than they did when I was talking about Chicago? How many of them feel better now about them? They're good? So you're all about it now, huh? So the public housing authorities can be your friends. There's a lot of stuff, but you have to make sure. And so the advantage of having a very short time in the wait list is that it's not too giant. But you better be listening for those emails. So I'm hoping that everyone will be signing up for those waiting lists. And you have to be 18, I think, to sign up for the waiting list. Is that right? I don't know that anybody ever checks your ID on the way in. So sign up for it, and if there's another housing authority and you have a relative in some other area, get on their list, because you never have to actually take the voucher. You just say, I don't want this one. You don't say, I don't want a voucher. You say, I don't want this one, so you stay on the list. And you make sure before you say that you understand how their list works. So, and how come all the lists work differently? Because us three made our decisions, and there's different housing authorities all over the place. And David Northern and Champaign have a chance to respond differently than they have before with the housing authority. And that will make a huge difference for the ability to develop really good housing with support. And you can see the video. No, you can't because I don't have the video. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I have things that we should have not talked as long. We're too old. Yeah. The VCR was blinking 12. So what I want you to think about is getting on all those lists for the public housing authority. And then the next thing is the state referral network. And the website is ilhousingsearch.org. ilhousingsearch.org. And it's in your PowerPoint. It doesn't have Champaign because this is one I use all over the state, but it does have that. So you need to know that website, everyone who builds builds affordable housing throughout the state has to build that. So there is a project that I learned here called The Grove. Is that correct? Remember we heard about I thought it was The Grove. There's a affordable housing development here that got low-income housing tax credits. And I don't know if they have people with disabilities, but they certainly promised the state they had people with disabilities. So I don't know. Our Facebook users will have to find out that address. It could be. I've been talking all day to people, but we learned that there's one here. And you should probably monitor that person who got millions of dollars of your state money as to whether they, in fact, no, Olmstead's not. That's a different thing. Oh, Homestead on Grove. Yes, that's it, Homestead. I don't know. Does anyone know anything about this? We were asking about that. Now, they may have quietly, yes, your group certainly brought up a lot about that. And they may or may not have public housing authority vouchers, but it doesn't matter. They took federal money, and they promised when they did that for 30 years they would offer it. But here's the thing. Remember about that newsletter that you thought nobody knew about, the one that now all of you are subscribed, right? You're going to be subscribed by the time you get home within 15 minutes. You'll be on that list, as well as ilhousingsearch.org. Actually, I'll say more about ilhousingsearch.org. There's more to say about that. But the person who took $4 or $5 or $15 million to build a building using this promised they would have people with disabilities, but they can't have vacancies. So they advertise it for 90 days, and if nobody applies, they can fill it with anyone. Now, how many feel less good about this whole process now? Well, they advertise. All of those buildings are on ilhousingsearch.org. Because now all of those buildings, it's our state government, with funding from the Department of Corrections, Department of Human Services, and put together a website that's got affordable housing open to landlords, but all landlords who have this kind of funding are required to list in there. And then you need to go to your provider. So is Rosecrans able to put people on the list? Now that I know you're from Rosecrans. You can put people on the state referral list, right? Within the next week, Rosecrans for certain will be able to do this because the mental health agencies are supposed to, and there's at least one person trained at every agency, and so soon we'll know who that person is. They will reveal themselves, or perhaps they have that. But the state referral list is a list of all these properties throughout the state, and I know, so now please find out about it. And then, Becca, you're willing to sign people up on the DD side, because it's no longer limited to your ISC agency, but your ISC agency, the Independent Service Coordinator, is supposed to sign you up for this. And homeless providers can also sign up people on the state referral list. And when you register as a user, you only see part of the information, but your case manager can see a bunch of other information, and they can put in certain things that will be able to say, what parts of the state do you want to live in? And don't put everything, because that's not the right strategy, because if you don't want to live in Cairo, you should not put Cairo on the list. But they have a lot of public housing there. And so only put the communities you're really interested in, and then you're going to get an email. And not only will the person with a disability get an email, I believe that if you set it up right, your case manager gets an email, too, that says, oh, my gosh, Fisher, the home of the royal bunnies, or the blue bunny, what are they, just bunnies, just bunnies? That they have something, and I really wanted to live in Fisher, because I like bunnies, and so then it will notify me that there's an opening there for someone with a disability where they will only spend 30% of their income, and you're like, that's for me. And it's even better if you're on a housing authority list and the state referral list at the same time. And even better if you're living in a nursing home that you're not supposed to, or a large group home. All those things prioritize you, because we are deciding, because all of you people with one kidney, not enough, because we have people who have no kidneys. It is part of it. It is actually the way in which you see it, and it gets you on the list. But then the state has it. So you're like, well, wait, there's not enough housing in Champaign. Eventually, if everyone who views this and talks to me today goes out and signs up for the IllinoisHousingSearch.org, what do they say? They say, we have an emergency here at Ida because there's billions of people on the list in Champaign and there's no housing here, so we'll need to prioritize Champaign as a place we need to build more affordable housing. So you see, you want to create the demand and then you'll fill it, and then more of you will be disappointed because we still won't have enough. I'm sorry, that's... It's true, but it will help to make sure that more housing is created so that more of you will get some housing. So we're always at a little bit of a loss until we fully fund this, but that's strategy number one. Then there's the strategy to get services, and ACT and CST, and I'll be talking with Chris on Friday, making that as a way in which to get in the community, and intermittent Scylla, offering intermittent Scylla where the person is able to get support in the community. This is for the IDD world, without having to give all of your money to the provider. And that's an option under intermittent Scylla, though many providers won't do it because they don't have enough money, because delivering services in your house loses the money. So I'm aware of the problems with the funding. But again, these are things where the two of you are going to make your state legislators miserable, as I recall, and all the rest of you should too. The Centers for Independent Living are also able to get people in the state referral network, and they have been leaders in that. Is that? Yeah, so I would get on those lists now, and so be on all the lists. So those give you options for affordable housing. Then you can decide if you want to be in the options that are available when they become available. And sometimes you have to take a not great apartment in order to be able to not end up in a group home. But realize that if you get a federal voucher like this, that's a voucher for life, essentially, as long as we keep funding. And that means your state general revenue doesn't have to pay for that housing, which right now the DD system does. And you can get reasonable housing, and then it's expected every year, whatever housing you have is subject to a health stands for something. Safety, health quality and safety, yes. Inspection, that's the federal inspection for an apartment to make sure that it's livable. And so once a year we do a check to make sure that the apartment that the federal government is subsidizing is up to code. Does that make sense? All right, so I have a couple more things that I want to say before we do this. Yeah, so housing first. You guys get housing first? So if people get into housing, they're doing a lot better than if they're not in housing. That's the bottom line with that. And rather than waiting for a person to behave themselves well enough to get into housing, we get them into housing right away. Here's what we did. So we're going to go to page 4. How are we doing for? Oh, I'm getting tight, aren't I? Okay, I'm going to go fast. I want you all in this community to know this thing, which is we used to assume that people got better in steps, and so we would take turns. And so if you look at the top of page 4, we used to say people who are homeless need to move to the emergency shelter, and then if they behave themselves, they got to go to the next step. And so everyone knows the best thing to do if you're distressed is to make you move to another place if you're doing well. And so that's what we do, even though that's one of the 10 most stressful things. And so the goal now is simply to reduce how long people stay in homelessness. If you let someone drop to the shelter, that's not a good thing. So instead, we want to evaluate people and figure out what level of support they need. And then we want to change support in where they live. So then I want to very quickly go to the next page and look at the Olmsted case. How many people know what the Olmsted case is? Not very many. The Olmsted case is a federal lawsuit in 1999. The people in the middle, the person on the left is the lawyer, and Lois Curtis and Elaine Wilson were the two individuals who were living in the state hospital after having lived in the community and falling apart over and over again. So the state of Georgia argued that you should just live in the state hospital for the rest of your life. And Georgia said that was good enough. And the Supreme Court under, Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote that opinion. And it was egregious, so it had plenty of support that people should be able to live in the community, particularly, she didn't say anything about cost, but it's really hard to make the argument if it costs more, which most of the time it doesn't, or does, that people should have a choice of where they want to live and you should provide support. So both of those things in the homeless system and in the disability system say the same thing, that we should be able to provide support to you wherever you live. You should not have to go to a special program or special housing. You should just be in your housing, and people should come to you if you can't get to them. Because it's more likely that your service provider has a car than if you're poor. So I don't know why we thought it was a good idea to have giant vans driving everyone to a central place to stay all day, and then we drive them back for 2 hours, and we thought that was a good idea. That's a bad idea. Why don't we just have the providers, instead of sitting at the day program, all drive to people's houses and check on how they're doing and maybe help them to travel into their regular community, and rather than have everyone travel to a central place. So the idea is we deliver services in a person's home. We check on them regularly as they're needed. They need a lot less service. And Vicki, after this meeting, will be happy to tell you how nervous she was and how nervous Annie was. And then Annie told her that she didn't really have to come by anymore. She was kind of annoying, you know, hovering over her at times. And Vicki was never happier to be thrown out of an apartment than on those days. And that turns out that Vicki did not starve. She was having people cook for her, having people cook for her, having people cook for her. And then one day she started to cook on her own, and people said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm cooking on my own." Annie, oh, so sorry, yes. Vicki did that a long time beforehand, but now Annie is in charge, and Annie has a disability, and Annie is doing great in the community. And she learned a lot of stuff, and there's people in Edwardsville. So all over the place, in the DD world, the mental health world, the criminal justice mental health world, people can live in the community if they have those supports. So that's what I mainly want to make sure. And then there's lots of information that I have in here that I can explain more, that are more directed at clinicians. But as you leave today, I want everyone to sign up for the Public Housing Authority list. I want them all to get on the PUNS list if you're in the DD system, because get on the waiting list now. But also consider whether your mental health system can support, particularly people with autism. And I want you to get in the state referral network. And I know that we've run to pretty close to the end of where we were to cover. But I would love to, I wanted to make sure that I set for this group sort of your marching orders. Your marching orders are that Rosecrans is a well-resourced mental health agency and addictions agency, and you want to make sure that they provide the support for your son or daughter in the community, and that they provide everything that Champaign County Mental Health / Community Element / if there was any other name in between, Rosecrans.
About 7 of them.
About 7 of them? Okay. I followed closely from a distance. That they provide the same level of service and better on both the mental health side, and now even more resources on the addiction side, to be able to help people live in their own environment. You can thank your legislator for fixing the ACT and CST problem, and we can talk more. It's not fixed, but it is not unprofitable. You work for Rosecrans too? Okay. It is better than it was, and it's possible to do. And that will require community support and legislator annoyance to get there. And that people with developmental disabilities will prove, like every other disability, that people can live on their own and they do not need to be locked into 8-person group homes where everyone has autism or everyone has this or everyone has that. Because it really should be about living the life you want, a life like any other, and that's what we should be doing for everyone with disabilities. I think I'll end there.
As
It's nice to know that there are think outside the box options that we just don't know enough about. And I, for one, wish there was a more comprehensive how-to list to kind of approach getting on every list imaginable and finding every option imaginable for supportive housing, for one thing. And then the second piece of it for me is for individuals who might have a severe disability, a severe autism, maybe living in a group home now, say there's the possibility that they could go into a single person, their own apartment, the supports. Just trying to find the right supports is a daunting prospect. Hiring and keeping quality people. And that's, I think, why maybe parents are so reluctant to move away from the Medicaid voucher option, because the task, the undertaking that, daunting. And where does the funding come for that support piece if you move away from the Medicaid voucher system?
So, Medicaid waiver system, actually. But yes. Because one is about services and vouchers are about supporting the housing. And we're going to have to make a better effort at educating both Republican and Democrat legislation. And you're now a pretty purple county, from what I understand, in this last election. And that's put you in a good position to have that conversation about understanding both the financial benefits to move to a different way and that. So now in terms of practical, there are things that, so there I'm involved in, I don't know, 10 meetings, I think, somewhere around there. And so some of those practical things, what I want to tell this board is that I've been giving different tidbits, and I'm going to meet with Chris, and I met with the FQHC, and I'm meeting with the Housing Authority Director, and we're going to talk about specifics of what to do. And CSH is creating, through this investment by the Illinois Council, something for parents that are graduating that will help them understand. And so in this, and it's a long PowerPoint, and I elected instead to try some different things, but I'm sorry, in tomorrow's PowerPoint, whatever I'm presenting there, there's a different thing that explains. We're going to create a single website that hopefully will be statewide for the, hosted by what I hope will be Highland Park as the special ed server, so it's in a school server, but then we'll have information updated by NAMI for mental health, the Centers for Independent Living, Ryan Croak, who's at the Center for the Illinois Network of Center for Independent Living, so that's physical disabilities, and then the ARC of Illinois, where we make sure that parents have a way that they can sign up for an ongoing newsletter that and check this website for the most current transition information. Because I know that when people graduate at 18 or 21 or 23, they may not have interest in moving out. But you never would have known about the state referral network if you hadn't come tonight. And so we want to have one place where all that information is, because it's buried. It's buried in the IDA website and, you know, the housing authority, how to get on that list and all that stuff. We're going to try and keep it all in one place. And, you know, I may ask Becca, as another person who looks at this website on the DD side, and Rosecrans wants to help, and actually, unfortunately, children's substance abuse is a whole different piece that's actually may need a whole portion of the page, too, that our education system, which you spend $150,000 a year or so on many people in special education, then a person turns 23 and the parents left with the kid, and it's not all done. It's a lifetime of disability support, and it's horrible. And so we're going to try and keep one place, but I would recommend if you're on the 377 board that you are at least getting the mailings, if not supporting already the ARC of Illinois. And think about creating an ARC chapter here in Champaign to be able to get the most current support. And if you're on the 708 board, I would recommend that you get onto the, you know, I would get CSH's newsletter for everyone too, because that will give you the most current housing information for all disabilities. Expected to be a lot about homelessness, because that's what we do nationally, but locally we do a lot more with disabilities. You can call me with questions, but NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, I would, and you have a chapter, Diane Zell and Nancy Hart Carter, I would, you know, get on that list, because that can help you with that for understanding as a child what the adult services is. And if you know how bad the adult services is and you're in elementary education, good, start fighting now and make their lives miserable till they can get there. And I know people are worn out supporting, so figure out other family members. But that's, we're going to try and get some information all in the right place, in the same place, if that helps. It's a long, daunting thing, and we're in a terrible state that's funded very badly. That's part one. How about I answer part one first? So, yeah, well, and that's not something different. And being next door to the University of Illinois, which has a pretty good, you know, I'm going to keep pulling out things. The great thing about University of Illinois is they've got great programs in every part of it, so you can steal, but they have a great business program, and so they have a great advertising program, from what I remember. And so maybe looking at creating a community education plan, and I'm going to send... Already I said I'm going to send that, but the Miami-Dade County, if you look, they had a program called Partners in Crisis, where they explained, I remembered the name now, where they explained to the community about what's happening to people with mental illness. And as a result of that campaign, after several years of showing people what people with mental illness look like in the jail, the community agreed to a tax increase to specifically fund programs and have continued to do that, and in the tune originally of $4 million and then becoming $25 million for the state. And so, but it takes a lot of community education, because we tend to blame the residents of public housing for what were really failures of finance and strategy. And we try a lot of stuff in public housing authority, and because we try a lot of stuff fails, so we got to encourage it. encourage experimentation, and we have to learn from those things. And, you know, the idea of cutting affordable housing was a bad idea. And so part of the reason that I'm here is to give that message to the disability community that you're going to have to push back hard to get affordable housing if you want people to live in your community, because otherwise they're going to be shipped to some other community after you're not alive. I mean, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be in a state developmental center, or they're going to be, you know, on Beverly's Farm or another place. And sorry for picking on Beverly's Farm. That's the closest large facility. He works for Beverly's Farm? Oh, no. State Referral Network. Okay, I have time on Friday. She's in charge of my schedule, so if you want to know what I'm doing, ask her. And on Saturday, ask my wife, because I never know what I'm doing until I hear from who's in charge of my schedule. I would be happy to meet with the DSC. I know they went through our institute along with Community Choices. And the fact is that at the time when we did, there was an institute to develop supportive housing for DD. And the state was making really positive changes that were really accelerating. And then we had a governor who, and a budget mess where nothing happened for 2 years, and everyone had to go into survival mode. You need to know that I'm not advocating the dissolution of group homes or Eden services or any place. There's an awful lot of people in need of services. And there's a lot of investment in group homes, and there's a lot of people who like them, so I'm not that, but there is an increasing number of people who want this. And so this is about, for those people who are old and gray and involved in the homeless system, you know, the whole point of the system was to create the right to be able to live in your own apartment and have an alternative to living in the shelter. I don't care. People can live in the shelter for as long as they want. But it's emergency housing. It's not supposed to be your long-term home. And so people are like, well, we think what we're doing is important. And across time, we've now said, oh, yeah, it's a better idea if they're in an apartment. That's a good deal. Never saw it before. In the mental health system in 1983, same thing. People are like, I love living in the group home. How come? Because I'm not in the 500-person place across the street. But when they were offered their own apartment in the mental health system, it was like the floodgates had been opened and the nursing or the group homes emptied. And there are still pockets of the state of Illinois that have mental health people in group homes as a normal practice. But across the country, there's very few. And that will likely happen with the DD system. And we'll have to figure out what to do with group homes. But there's no worry right now about anyone doing it. But the system will move. And Rosa Parks was the person who started a systems change, one of the many people who started that systems change, and the individuals who begin to do supportive housing and prove that people can live in their own apartments will begin that change. And organizations like Community Choices has been on the forefront of pushing a system, and DSC has been around for a long time, and they have to live within that system, and they have to support what they have to do, and we have to recognize that. Rockford is a model for criminal justice and mental health system led by Rosecrans and the former Janet Waddles in terms of some experiments done in Rockford that weren't done anywhere else in the state. And so there are microcosms in places where we do this. There is no reason that Champaign, home of University of Illinois, home of Netscape and other things, and whatever, the circuit transistor, that this shouldn't be the incubating company or community for cutting edge. And you fell behind as a community and could be further ahead. And there will be some things that will push DSC, and you may lead that lead. Rosecrans, it's up to you guys. They're all brand new here. You know, you tell them what they're allowed to do, and they'll say no, and then you'll bring someone else in, or they'll get on board with what you want to do. Force the change. Be the change.